Hello, and thanks for joining us for the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. This is our October 2019 podcast episode, and we're going to be hearing from Leslie Hodges about the Unemployment Insurance Program and specifically how the program might mitigate economic distress in the event of a job loss. Hodges is a postdoc here at the Institute for Research on Poverty, and we talked about a paper she wrote with Fei Min, who's a postdoc at the University of Toronto. And when we started talking, I asked Hodges to tell us about the Unemployment Insurance Program, or UI, and how it works.
The official name is the Federal State Unemployment Compensation Program, and it was a program that was funded out of the Social Security Act in the late 30s, and it really is a program that's designed for workers, so it's to provide insurance to people who have been working regularly and then experience involuntary job loss. So UI, like I said, is really a program for workers. The program is funded through an employer tax on wages, and people qualify for unemployment insurance based on their prior work history and earnings. And so it's really meant to be a form of insurance. It's not means tested. And by that, I mean, it doesn't matter what your spouse or your other household income is. And it also doesn't matter if you have other assets, for example, a 401k or something else that you could draw on during a period of unemployment. So it's really about having an event and having some income protection against that event.
In their paper, Hodges and Men ask the question, do unemployment benefits reduce poverty and hardship? And it might be tempting for us to think that the answer to that question is kind of mechanical. If someone loses their job and is able to get a benefit that covers some of their lost wages, that should provide some protection against hardship and poverty, right? Well, Hodges says it's not quite that simple.
And in some ways, it's a question that's combining two different things, two different populations and groups, because the UI program is targeted at workers. And so there's not like an explicit goal for the UI program to do something like reduce poverty, right? And so it's not a clear question coming out of the program. At the same time, in order to evaluate the effectiveness of the program and whether, you know, it's meeting the needs of workers in today's economy, then we really need to have information about what the beneficial effects of UI might be. And so that sort of motivates that question of, does UI reduce poverty, or does UI help people to pay their bills, to make mortgage payments, to purchase food? That being said, it tends to be people who we consider to be more advantaged in the labor market who typically take up UI benefits. So people who have pretty stable employment, people who have higher earnings.
I asked Dr. Hodges to tell us more about why more disadvantaged workers might be less able to take up UI benefits.
So they might not qualify because they don't have the amount of work history or earnings in the past. It's about a year. So in the past year, that would make them be eligible. But it's also possible that their reasons for exiting employment make them ineligible for UI. So the program is really targeted towards people who are what we call experiencing involuntary job loss, or their job losers, and not people who have left their jobs purposefully, and also typically not people who have been fired. So those are kind of things that might be disruptions. And then the last thing is there's a few studies that have shown that there's a lack of information about the availability of benefits. And I think that's a really important thing, especially when you're talking about low-income workers. So they might either perceive that they're not eligible for benefits, or they might not even know that the program exists and that they could qualify for benefits.
And Hodges says that for their study, trying to compare individuals who are unemployed and receive UI to those who don't gets tricky.
Because what we have is we can see that people who receive UI are about 12 percentage points less likely to be in poverty. And to kind of put that into other numbers, it's about, I think, 32% of our sample of unemployed workers who don't get UI are in poverty, and then only about 20% of our sample of UI recipients are in poverty. So there's that 12 percentage point difference in terms of actual rates. Part of that's the program itself, but part of that is characteristics about UI recipients that we can't observe.
And the sample they're drawing on here is from the Survey of Income and Program Participation, or the SIP. And so I asked Hodges to tell us about the SIP and the kinds of information it can provide.
It's a nationally representative longitudinal survey of households and individuals. And depending on the year that the survey started, and those are called panels, it runs anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So it allows you to follow households over that time and learn about their employment, their earnings, their participation in other programs, other sources of incomes, changes in their household structure. So it has a lot of really great information there. And core sets of questions are asked throughout the course of the survey every 4 months. And then at different periods, additional questions are asked. And so what we use is what's called the topical module on adult well-being, where people are asked these specific questions about hardships. So in the past year, were you unable to, you know, pay your rent or mortgage payment? In the last year, were you unable to pay a utility bill or a phone bill, or did you have your phone service disconnected? So those are the questions that we're using to measure hardship.
Hodges says that the SIP is really ideal for looking at these issues because it asks a broader range of questions about hardships than many other nationally representative surveys.
And the reason that's really relevant is because when we talk about poverty and economic well-being, our measure of poverty is one of income poverty. And so it makes an assumption that by having a certain amount of income, families have enough to meet their basic needs. And that works to some extent, except we know that people above the poverty line report not being able to meet some basic needs, and some people below the poverty line report being able to meet those needs. So they actually don't always map onto each other. And so the material hardship measures are consumption-based measures. They're direct questions that asked, were you able to meet this basic need? Were you able to consume adequate housing, consume adequate food, those things? So I think it's, you know, putting them side by side is really helpful because we just know that income poverty tells us something, but it doesn't tell us the whole story about people's economic well-being.
I asked Hodges to tell us more about how we can think about this distinction between income poverty and material hardship in the context of the challenges that someone who has lost a job might face.
The issue with looking at income poverty when you have UI receipt is that it's a cash transfer. It's cash income. So, of course, you have a mechanical effect, right? You might have had a loss of income because you became unemployed, but you have an increase in income by definition because of that UI benefit, right? So that, to me, the relationship there seems like one that's mechanical and less one that tells us that much about people's ability to meet their needs. So if I were to say, of course, the UI program makes people better off. Look, this many fewer people are income poor because they get UI. Well, it's a cash transfer of income. Yes. But that doesn't mean that, well, I've been unemployed now for 3 months and I could cover my mortgage payment for a while, but now I'm starting to get to the point where I can't cover my mortgage payment. And so one of the things we do is we look at the duration that people have been unemployed to kind of see patterns and reductions in hardships for people who are unemployed for 6 months, right? Because exactly like that, you know, I may be having a much more difficult time. I could have, if I did have liquid assets, I maybe have already started to run out of them.
And for their results, they did find a difference when they looked at rates of income poverty versus rates of hardship.
So we found that UI was associated with reductions in poverty and also with reductions in food insecurity and general deprivation. And what I mean by general deprivation is experiencing two or more hardships. And we found this in our full sample that we looked at. But what is really interesting is that this reduction in poverty was really consistent across the different subgroups of workers that we looked at. So we looked at non-whites and whites, we looked at people who had liquid assets and who didn't, and we looked at people with different durations or lengths of unemployment. And we basically found this poverty reduction across all those groups, whereas the reductions in food hardship and general deprivation were concentrated among certain subgroups, so mainly among non-whites and among those who didn't have liquid assets, and also among people who were unemployed for more than 6 months.
And Hodges says that when we think about economic distress related to job loss, it's important to understand how the story can be different for whites and non-whites.
One thing that has been well-researched and shown is pretty large disparities in unemployment and length of unemployment spells between whites and non-whites. So pretty big racial disparities or what is referred to as deeper economic scarring from job loss. So not only longer unemployment spells, but we talk about how long it takes people kind of to get back to their same level of earnings that they had before they lost their jobs. So most people don't immediately get back to their same level of income from employment once they find a new job. And that tends to be longer for non-whites or for racial minorities. And so that was a really important group for us to look at. It's also really important because there's a lot of literature on access to UI that shows that take-up rates are much lower among non-whites than whites. And actually in some of my own research, I find that Latinos are actually more likely than whites in my sample to be eligible based on their income for unemployment insurance, but then much less likely to take it up. So that's important too. That gets back to this information question. It's not as though they're not qualifying, but they're not necessarily taking up benefits, which is really important. And so we look at non-whites to sort of see if UI might be more protective for that group. And we actually find reductions in hardship almost across the board. So unlike for our full sample, right, we find reductions in poverty, but also in utility hardships and medical hardships, which is were you unable to see a doctor if you needed to, and then also in food hardships. And so I think in terms of making sure that people have information about the availability of the program and increasing access among people who are having lower rates of take up, I think this is a really important contribution to that area because we show that, you know, this is where UI can really be helpful.
And finally, Hodges says that a central question for the UI program is whether it's meeting the needs of workers in today's economy.
We just know that employment now looks different than it did 50 years ago. And even though we have record low rates of unemployment right now, we still expect that people's experiences during a spell of unemployment are different. And I think a question for policymakers always is, you know, what should the scope of UI be? How broad? How widely available should it be? And you both need to know what the negative consequences of that might be, like increasing unemployment rates, increasing the length of unemployment, but also the beneficial aspects, right? So what it means for a household to receive UI benefits during a spell of unemployment, because you can't really determine the right scope of the program without knowing how it makes people better off. I mean, I think they want to know if their program is working. And I think to some extent we have evidence here that it is. And it's working for populations that not only does the UI program care about, but we care about more broadly, people who are more economically vulnerable. That's important.
Thanks to Leslie Hodges for sharing her work with us. This podcast was supported as part of a grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, but its contents don't necessarily represent the opinions or policies of that office, any other agency of the federal government, or the Institute for Research on Poverty. To catch new episodes of the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast, you can subscribe on Apple, Stitcher, or Google Play Podcasts. You can also find all of our past episodes on the Institute for Research on Poverty website. Our theme music for this episode is Staring Straight by Martin DeBoer. Thanks for listening.